coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Hour 3, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, old school, the new school way, live in effect, 1040 O Street, as we start to lose a little bit of sunlight, but we are brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Audermatt slash Old Cheney, 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on, obviously. We alluded to NFL news, but before we get to that, we got to get to this right now. Husker fans, on Wednesday, November 12th, don't miss your chance for the meet and greet with Emmett Johnson at 7:30 at the Courtyard Marriott in downtown Lincoln. Entry to the event is 100% free. There will be official Emmett Johnson merch and officially licensed Nebraska merchandise available as well for purchase. It's a rare in-season meet and greet with Nebraska running back Emmett Johnson, Wednesday, November 12th, 7:30, Marriott, Courtyard by Marriott in downtown Lincoln. That is 2 days from now. Make sure you get it. He's a great kid, doing some good stuff. So never opposed of players trying to make a little bit of money, but more and less also getting out there in the public on a bye week. So he definitely has earned it, and a great chance to meet him. And obviously he does have some pretty cool merch. So
do we need a nickname for Emmett Johnson? I feel like EJ doesn't cut it.
He calls himself E Money, don't he?
Oh, does he?
Okay. I think on a little bit, one of his t-shirts said E Money.
That's closer.
I'll ask him.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But as Austin said, New York Giants has made a move. But the funny thing about this, Austin, they said after, was it the Denver game? The ownership wanted to fire him then.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they didn't even want to let him on the plane, though.
They wanted to Lane Kiffin him.
Yeah. Well, no, I was just like, hey, you fired. You can ride back with us or you can figure it out. But I mean, he wanted to fire him like at the stadium, was talked off the ledge, and it was just a foregone conclusion that he was already fired. I'm sure he knew. The interesting part of it is this, is that everybody knows now Brian Daboll is the one that kind of put the bad rap out there for Shador. Not in reaction to drafting Jackson Dart, but that's just for whatever reason. He had a bone to pick with Deion, and it boiled down to a son. Everything was hunky-dory, right? You bench Russell Wilson. You had an uptick after Jackson Dart started, and obviously with Scataboo as well, but he wasn't able to keep his job. You know, when you take over organizations where he was at, when coming from Buffalo, taking the job, and obviously the backstory behind that and the whole Brian Flores thing, obviously is very interesting, but, you know, you're not going to a franchise with a plethora of talent. They've missed on quarterback after quarterback, and it's questionable whether they missed on quarterback. I feel like they, for whatever reason, he didn't like Daniel Jones, which is shown to be a huge mistake, mainly because Daniel Jones under your tutelage with Saquon made the playoffs and went to the Vikings on and won a road playoff game with Daniel Jones. You missed on some guys that you continue to get. You drafted well with Dexter Lawrence and everybody like that. And then now you turned the page on Daniel Jones. You kind of had a stopgap. You had Russell Wilson. Then for whatever reason, you signed Jameis Winston to probably anywhere from 15 to 22 as far as ranked as if they were starters, you know, in the league. And then you draft Jackson Dart. You know, at the time, people thought a little bit early and he wasn't going to start, but he's shown that, you know, showing some life, and it hadn't worked out because it didn't lead to a lot of wins. The first week was wins. Here's also the problem. The first 3 weeks, you're essentially playing with house money because they don't have any tape.
Right.
After that, there's no surprises. But for him, I think he got a soft vote of confidence last year from John Mayer and Steve Tisch in the offseason. So you knew he was on it. I think the Giants have some young talent. That's probably the only reason that the GM is still there. it's very surprising that he's still there, considering he's one of the main reasons why, is the main reason why the Giants no longer have Saquon Barkley. But he was able to keep his job. So it's just onward. Who's going to coach the Giants now? Is it Bill Belichick?
I had not considered that.
Is it Bill Belichick?
I don't think so, but I have to. I have to think about that for a second, because Mike Kafka gets the interim, and that's a name that's been floated around, not overly seriously, but
he interviewed for a couple jobs last year. Now, I don't know if it was kind of like to get you, you know, they interview guys to get you experience of interviewing, or was he really up for job?
He wasn't in the, you know, the Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen tier of offensive coordinator candidates. He's one of those, you know, 2 years away from being 2 years away sort of guys,
right?
For the work that he's done. If it's Bill Belichick, that's hilarious to me. It really is. And I don't know if that's the direction I would go if I was the Giants, because Jay, you mentioned the holding on to Joe Shane, right? The general manager. This has the potential to get really Titans-esque. Fire the head coach, then 2 years later fire the GM, then 2 years later fire the head coach, then 2 years later fire the GM. There's something to be said for, you got to get the right people in the right seats no matter what time it comes at. But there's also something to, hey, generally general managers hire their head coaches. They come in together, they go out pretty close together. And that's for a reason. You know, you want that alignment, that vision, that fit, all that stuff. As long as it works, fine. But Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings has said, and I tend to believe him because he's been good with a bunch of different quarterbacks, that organizations fail quarterbacks long before quarterbacks fail organizations.
I agree.
If you're the Giants and you believe that much in Jackson Dart, who, yes, has had his issues, but he's a rookie and has shown plenty of flashes as a rookie that, hey, maybe we got something in this kid. He doesn't need constant overhaul. He doesn't. You know, think about, let's take this example, Josh Allen, when he comes into the league. McDermott there, Dable there. They work with him for 4 years, and then he really takes off.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe he was always going to, but certainly organizational culture, consistency, stability helped that. I'm not saying that's the level Jackson Dart gets to, but 99% of quarterbacks will need that stability and that consistency to thrive. They can make it work with whatever in the roster, but not having to look over their shoulder for the play call or learn a new system or new verbiage, and a head coach where that's a really important relationship. And then even the general manager, did you trust him to put the right guys around you? That constant flip-flop and overturn is so unhealthy for young quarterbacks. And whether, you know, Shane is the right guy or not, Dable's the right guy or not, firing them at different times just feels weird and strikes me as something that takes them down the Titans path of instability instead of, say, the Philly path of, hey, let's work through some issues.
Yeah, but they kept, you know, much as Philly gets credit, they stuck with their GM and their scouting department. I mean, they Howie was on the hot seat for a little bit, but he revamped his kind of process, and obviously it's been good as golden. You know, this, I think whoever they hire has to be in love with Jackson Dart and had to have a high opinion of him before he got there, a true one.
Yeah.
Because you
not,
don't,
yeah, I'll take him, but yeah,
you,
like
you don't want the Carolina Panthers situation. They draft Bryce Young, and the new head coach don't even want him. Don't even want him in training camp. Where you want, you know, Jackson Dart to be successful, whoever. I mean, obviously you want the coach to come in and be able to be a very good coach and bring a staff, but you're going to have a plan for him, even as a defensive coach. If I came in there and interviewed, I would say, well, this is who I'm going to bring with me, and this is what he wants to do. This is my vision for Jackson Dart, and this is how I'm going to get it done. I'm going to surround him with a very good offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, so forth and so on, and then it's your job to continue to get talent, and that's where probably Sheen is probably lucked out. Jackson Dart, they believe right now in the short term, and I think franchise quarterback, it used to be 10 years. I think it's 5 years now for a franchise quarterback. They figure like they got the starter for the next 5 years. Then when I'm just looking at the roster, could they get another running back? Sure, but I like Singletary. Tyrone Tracy's okay, so they got enough there. You could probably maybe try to spend some money in free agency there, but you have Neighbors as a wide receiver, Jalen Hyatt, who was a really big time prospect coming out of Tennessee.
Burner.
And then you have Wando Robinson, who's healthy, and Darius Slayton, who's healthy. You like that type of – you probably want maybe a clear-cut number two, but you like to hope that Jalin Hyatt would get busy this year.
Well, if nothing else, it's kind of like the Colts model where you don't have a – maybe Neighbors is a superstar. He probably has a higher ceiling than Michael Pittman Jr., but either way, hey, these guys work really well together, holes greater than the sum of its parts.
Right, and you got a bunch of two A's and one B's.
Yeah.
They're better than just having a 1-1A. And then the tight end room, you know, obviously got Nebraska's Thomas Fedoni, Theo Johnson, and Bellinger. So you like that. You think like one of them, probably Bellinger right now, is their guy. Then the offensive line, they've invested in it. And obviously, John Michael Schmitz is a dude.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a day one starter. He's a dude. They need Evan Neal and Andrew Thomas to continue to progress. So you have your two bookend tackles in the guard. Van Rotten's okay. You know, but he's a veteran, right? Mm-hmm. 11 years in. So you're going to have to do that. You got Runyon, who you were able to get for. So you got the offensive line. The defensive line is depth-wise and star power is good. Linebacker's a little shaky, though. Like, stack linebacker. They don't have anybody that I view that's like, okay, like, that's mm-hmm. it. So they probably need to upgrade there. And then, obviously, they got Deontay Banks from Maryland. He's a pretty good corner. But they got a lot of young talent. So it's there for the picking. Mm-hmm. They got to get a true leader, and they're not saying that David wasn't. They got to get somebody that everybody believes in, mm-hmm. and you got to get them on the same page, and they got to be, you know, willing to do what they need to do to win, because they have an opportunity there to really take over and really grow in New York, but they're going to have to come together and do it, and they got to find somebody to do it. Now, I don't know if they'll pick Belichick because, you know, maybe they'd be, I think he could do well. They're going to go with, I'm assuming, an offensive coach that has really good leadership skills. And I don't know who that would be right now. Kellen Moore was the guy that was the quarterback guru. Mm-hmm. You got Steichen that's already in Indy. So I don't know. I mean, now you have to start really paying attention during the NFL games. About what the commentators are saying about the coordinators.
Yeah.
Then you'll start to hear these names start to be linked with the Giants down the road.
Is this a Cliff Kingsbury resurgence?
The Bachelor?
I doubt it. I've just thrown his name out there.
If it was last year, I'd say yes. This year, not so much.
Not as
much.
Fair.
I don't think it's fair to judge him when the quarterback's been hurt. I think he's a better head coach now, prospect now, than he was before. I do. I really do. Mm-hmm. I gave him some flying elbows at times, but I like what he's done.
Full disclosure, I am more curious about what's next for Brian Daboll, because that's a guy 21-41-1 in his tenure. Not great. And you look at even his numbers as an offensive coordinator. He was the OC for Cleveland for 2 years in 2009-2010, then went to Miami in 2011, and then Kansas City in 2012. That was, you know, kind of in the middle of the Alex Smith thing before that really took off over the next couple of years. After 2012, Brian Daboll ends up the tight ends coach in New England for 4 years. He was the OC at Alabama in 2017.
Yeah.
And that's when he made that jump back to Buffalo. You can tell he learned some things. You can tell he grew. The ranks for his first 4 years as an offensive coordinator in yards, 2 years in Cleveland, one in Miami, one in Kansas City. In yards, 32nd, 29th, 22nd, 24th. Points, 29th, 31st, 20th, 32nd. Okay, take some time off. New England has a good year at Alabama in 2017, goes to Buffalo. In terms of yards, 30th his first year, 24th, 2nd, and 5th. This really correlates, obviously, with the growth in Josh Allen. 30th in points, 23rd in points, 2nd in points, 3rd. In points. Okay, so you start to see something coming together. And then you go to the Giants, where in terms of yards, 18th, 29th, 30th, and 14th. Points scored, 15th, 30th, 31st, and 24th. That 1 year in 2022 as a rookie head coach, they make the playoffs with a decent record. I wonder if the Giants thought that, okay, yeah, this is what we can expect moving forward, if maybe they overestimated how good they were in 2022. I also wonder, you know, is Brian Daboll a product of Josh Allen? Or is he a guy that has learned a lot as an offensive coordinator, wasn't as hands-on in the game planning in New York because he's trying to be a head coach, gave more of that responsibility to Kafka, and will he be a better offensive coordinator when that's all he has to focus on? I'm not sure. Does Brian Daboll feel like a guy that's going to get another head coaching gig in the NFL? Or is this a guy that is just going to be the next hot offensive coordinator for some team trying to mold their own Josh Allen?
Well, it's going to be interesting, Austin, because where he's at is, if you ask Wink and Martindale, he'll never be a head coach again.
Right.
Can be abrasive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes, you know, from here. Now, it could be a domino effect now, right? He has a good relationship with McDermott. If Joe Brady's able to go off and be Penn State or LSU's coach or anything else he's associated with, well, then, dang, you right in there with
Buffalo.
With Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I mean, ideally, I was assuming, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Which would be really interesting if Buffalo would go back to him after Kansas City didn't go back to Bieniemy.
But they went back to
Nagy,
because Nagy was there first.
Yeah.
All in name, though. Andy Reid's the play caller.
Right.
And Eric Bieniemy did more work.
Anyways, yeah. Just saying. But it'd be fun.
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see, you know, what happens, because, dude, the Giants have a lot of talent. They got a quarterback, Brian Daboll. I liked him his first year. I think it became, you know, harder. And then I think he started to feel the pressure. So then he put a lot of pressure on how Daniel Jones would play. There was no talent around him, zero offensively. Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I think he'll resurface. I do. I think he'll get another shot. I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't. You know what I mean? Like,
well, he wouldn't for a couple reasons. Number one, for the offensive mastermind, the offenses weren't that great in New York. He gave up on a quarterback that's at least showing some promise. And we'll see how real Danny Dimes is in the second half of the year. But, and then you add the abrasive aspect on it. There's one thing when it's tough and it's portrayed that way, and hey, he brings a level of accountability. Yeah. But if you're just a jerk, I know plenty of jerks have had successful coaching careers, but if it's tough and abrasive without a point, maybe that ends up holding him back a little bit. I think he's a guy that needs that, you know, kind of rehab offensive coordinator stint, you know, like Todd Bowles-ish, Raheem Morris-ish, right? Head coach.
I like that.
Go back as a coordinator, you know, say, hey, here are my bona fides. I'm actually really good at this. I deserve another chance. Here's what I learned. That strikes me as the path for Daboll.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a workout, and it depends on where he goes. I mean, you get in somewhere with like either the Harbaughs, you know, because they kind of run that kind of RPO, you know, smash mouth type of offense. I mean, he'll have options. I mean, I think he's been accomplished as a coordinator, respected as a head coach, respected as a coordinator for sure. Mm-hmm. And depends on how he left.
Yeah.
It does. I don't think he would mess up like getting a shouting match. I think it's more importantly is what was happening in the building.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's been happening in that building since Denver? When it sounds like he's on the outs, how has he handled that? Because you look at it, four blown leads of 10 points or more this year.
Yeah.
Obviously, players got to own that and take some accountability. How much of that falls on Daboll? Did he take ownership for it? Did he say, no, that was on the players, my hands are off? I think that's got to play into it a little bit.
It does, but it'll be interesting to see the interactions between players. Mm-hmm. You know, how much did it hurt the team with the way Wink Martindale just packed up and left his office, right? You know what I'm saying? Because Wink Martindale had that defense going.
To go back to college.
Like, I got to get the heck away from, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. It'd be interesting, though, to say Wink Martindale comes back. Hey. With the new is Daboll here? You know, is he gone?
Check the corners. Check the closets.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, I think he'll get another job. Oh, Clantonio John has one. John Gruden.
Ooh.
Do you think...
Who gets back in the league first, John Gruden or Colin Kaepernick?
Austin. You know dang well Colin Kaepernick got to get back in the league.
Yeah, but Gruden was being rude to the owners.
Rude? He got dimed out by.
Yeah, the owners don't like him. They're not letting him back in.
But Daniel Snyder is gone. Out.
Okay, but still.
Yeah, the posse's still there.
The posse's still there. You said they're the pettiest people in sports.
They can be. Coaches are.
I'm not saying it's a bad option. I'm saying the politics, I don't think, make it.
Plus, he already has that lawsuit against the NFL.
If you have a lawsuit against the NFL.
That he's probably going to. Yeah, probably he's going to win.
Right.
He's going to win some money.
Yeah. You ain't coaching.
Yeah, he ain't coaching. But
even if the theory is there.
I know he would like to coach him.
Is this a Ryan Day opening?
In New York?
He's from the Northeast. He went to college in New Hampshire. Chief? You know what I'm saying?
I could see that happening. OG says Mike McCarthy. Maybe Urban Meyer. Negative, negative.
McCarthy more likely than Urban, but yeah. Still unlikely.
Man, I saw Mike McCarthy up in Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I thought I'd been eating a lot of broth. I ate a lot of broth.
Hey, but Mike McCarthy is up there for a lot longer than you.
Mike McCarthy been eating brats and drinking that spotted cow, boy. I was drinking about a gallon up there. When we were losing so bad, I was stress eating up there when we played Wisconsin when they had Russell Wilson and all them.
Right.
Oh my gosh, but Mike McCarthy been living his best life up there. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, the Giants is a great organization. I would say, you know, I was only there for a quick bit. I wish I had gotten there when I was really rolling. Mm-hmm. I do. I wish I did. I was fortunate enough to play Buffalo, Houston, and then obviously New York and San Francisco. All of them were first class, especially, you know, Buffalo was, you know, that was, the standard was so high. Mm-hmm. I wish I got to the Giants when I was a little bit more healthy and really able to get down.
Doug Peterson?
I like it. Do they got ice cream shops around there?
Frank Reich? I'm just throwing names against the wall at this point.
I like Doug Peterson, championship winning coach.
Knows the division.
Knows the division. Really good with quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
4693, we'll get you real quick. The Giants going after Brady. Probably not because he has a connection. Was Brady? No, Brady came after Daboll and they weren't. Yeah. He wasn't a quarterback. Yeah.
Worth an ask if you want.
Eric and Lincoln says Vance Joseph. He deserves another shot the way he's doing with that defense.
Right.
And he said he's learned some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that'd be great.
More likely Vance Joseph or Robert Saleh.
Ooh. I think Robert Saleh got a raw deal. I would say right now with the way Denver's defense is playing, and Vance Joseph is a defensive guy, and he had a offensive guru coming as offensive coordinator with that talent on the Giants, definitely Vance Joseph.
I agree.
Yeah. So, anyways, we'll take a quick break, come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this, and then obviously some other things going on in the NFL as well because they always got something going on. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, we're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, the New School Way. Second segment, 5 o'clock hour. NFL is on our mind. Covered the Huskers at the bye week. Matt Rhule had his press conference. We aren't on tomorrow, so probably should have jumped into it, but we'll give it a break. I'm sure everybody didn't.
He was talkative today. We got a lot of long answers from him.
He did?
Oh, yeah. He was pontificating, if you will.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. You can do that after you win, you know?
Then he was giving some grief about having to do it again next Monday.
Oh, what? Why?
He just thought it was funny. I mean, he spoke for like half an hour today. Nothing's going to happen over the bye week, and he gets to do it all again on Monday for game week.
We won the bye week. We won it. I got you on that. But also, before we get into more NFL news, I want to give out to this linebacker for Denver. His last name is Singleton. Alex Singleton.
Oh, yeah.
Give a shout out to him, man. He went in for a routine checkup. Has a testicular cancer, gonna get it taken care of, be back in a couple weeks. Good on him. He's a good player, man.
Yeah.
He's the one that went nose to nose with my man CJ Stroud, but CJ bucked up to him with slew footed and all. So that's how I remember him. But he's a good player. Here's also Austin, I wanted to ask you about. So the Detroit, first of all, the Detroit Lions and Washington Commanders games, probably the backstories in that game, even though Detroit beat them pretty bad, that took over everything.
Yeah.
You had my man Payne giving St. Brown just unsolicited, and that's a big brother too, straight to the jaw. Just what did you see? This is also for you people out there. Sometimes you run up on somebody and they having a bad day, which the Commanders are. They're probably frustrated. And there's no questions asked. He said, what did you say? And then he tried to pop off, didn't think you were in the line of fire. Yeah.
Oh,
you,
line of fire found you.
Yeah, St. Brown, you ain't gonna be dancing. I know the backstory. I'm gonna keep it off air. But you had that. Then you had Dan Campbell take over the play calling duties, which is interesting because I don't know if Dan Campbell has ever called plays.
Because he was a special teams and tight ends guy, more so than anything.
Yeah, and straight leader and all that, and always had been really ascended and really taken over. I don't know if he had ever called plays. I know he knows his stuff. I'm not saying that.
Right.
But he took over the plays, and they really went off. I mean, 14 points, 11 points, 10 and 9. 44, holla at a player. But on the flip side, as of this morning, which is really interesting, Dan Quinn has decided to take over the defensive calls, the much maligned Washington Commanders defense that was opportunistic and actually probably carried a lot of the weight early in the season until Daniel started to take off. Not the same players, but they drafted well and they got Bobby Wagner and all those guys. He's taking back over. Is this a new trend? Head coaches said, listen, you ain't getting it done. I'm calling plays.
It's always been on the table for these guys. Some of them have done it. Some haven't. Knowing Detroit and Dan Campbell, I think I probably like the sense of urgency from him for a team with legitimate Super Bowl hopes and aspirations, where your first year, first time play caller wasn't getting it done. And this isn't, I mean, relative to last year. And again, that's a tough act to follow with Ben Johnson and all that. But I mean, Ben Johnson been there for a couple years and then really came into his own when the talent got better. Talent was similar. I know they're down a couple offensive linemen from last year's, but some of the numbers behind the scenes were less than encouraging. So for Dan Campbell, you're not firing the OC. You're not getting rid of him. It's, hey, listen to me call it. Hey, understand my sense of game flow.
And what
we're
I
going
want.
For, what I
maybe
want. You,
maybe you're hearing me and you're listening, but
you don't know how to apply
necessarily.
So I forget the guy's name offhand. I should have been prepared. That's on
Morton.
Me. Yeah, John Morton. Maybe he still has a future in it because he didn't get fired or anything. This could be a learning opportunity. Maybe he gets another crack at
and
it.
He's
I mean,
young.
He is.
Yeah.
Think about Brian Hartline. He got the job calling plays for Ohio State. Didn't go well the first time. Now, again, it's maybe not the most explosive Ohio State offense of all time right now at Ohio State, but he's better.
Maybe it's
a second go around for Morton next year. Or in a couple years, but you got to have a sense of urgency. If you're Detroit, you're the one seed in the NFC last year. You didn't make it to the Super Bowl. You have a lot of the same pieces back, a lot of the same talent and a healthier defense. If I'm Dan Campbell, I got to make sure my guys are in rhythm, and I don't necessarily blame him for this.
Let me ask you this real quick about Ohio State before we get back to this, and we'll get into Dan Quinn. Do you like this year's offense or last year's offense? I want the whole gamut now.
I think Sayan might be a little overhyped when it comes to something like the Heisman race. I definitely like the run game last year for Ohio State a little bit better. But he had two NFL teams. I mean, he had Henderson and
Judkins.
Yeah, Judkins there. That's really hard to beat. Plus Smith, essentially you trade Ibuka for Tate. Similar, but I'm a big Ibuka guy. I've liked him for a while. So, and then maybe Sayan's a better passer than Will Howard, but Howard had some of that gamer to him that we're still seeing, I guess, if Julian Sayan has. I would say I lean toward last year's offense, probably like 65-35.
Yeah, see, I'm the complete opposite.
Really?
I like this offense because I remember Ohio State struggling at times last year. I remember Ohio State against Michigan, kept running up the middle when Michigan had two first-round picks up the middle.
Fair.
That's not working. Also remember Michigan or Ohio State at Oregon when they had total control of the game with those two NFL running backs, and that didn't work, right?
Went away from it.
Mm-hmm. Then you went back to it, and it was a little bit, you know, too little too late. Whereas I like this offense, and I'm more or less talking about how they've been calling it, where you started out slow, you're starting to expand the playbook, you lean on the run game, that you are being physical, which sets up the explosive pass game, which then I think you will get to the end product more consistently versus falling in love with, oh, we have to be aggressive with all these NFL guys when our back's against the wall. I'm looking at game one to get, you know, game 12.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think my point on last year, too, is that we saw that top gear pretty consistently. Of course, the hiccups, like you mentioned. And this year has been the slower build, right? Not the explosive run game consistently. You're maybe starting to see it.
Yeah.
And it's one thing I completely respect the notion of, okay, maybe don't save it, but when are we comfortable with it and we can actually break it out? Because Ohio State's going to need it, right? They've been in control, right? They haven't had to flex that muscle. They haven't had to take the Lambo out of the garage necessarily. They've gotten by with their, you know, maybe two-year-old, you know, 50,000-mile truck, which is good because it's obviously more about controlling the game, winning, being comfortable in what you're doing than putting up gaudy numbers.
Yeah.
But sometimes I do want to see that top gear of the sports car that we just haven't necessarily seen consistently from this version. So I like that Ohio State put that on display early last year. And I just want to see that this year's edition has that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. I totally agree with you. But now back to Dan Campbell. I mean, I liked it, you know, the mindset to do it. I mean, I like his supporting your coach. I think him being in the business long enough and obviously, you know, coaching and playing, he knows you don't pull the plug on young, good coaches. He was handpicked and the continuity is there. He just needed probably a little bit more dedication to the run game. And then let's get our, you know, our power players the ball. But on the flip side, when you have Dan Quinn taking over play calling on the defense, I look at it totally different. Like you said, Detroit, you know, fighting for a playoff spot, potentially trying to make a Super Bowl run if they continue along this pace. Whereas Dan Quinn's taking over DC's duties, and the team is 3-7. If you're going to do that, you need to do that like week two or three.
Yeah. I mean, what are the odds you went out, go 10-7 and squeak into the playoffs? It's not. So then what do you have? You have Joe Witt, who's in his second year with the Commanders, second year there. This is the time to see, hey, can this guy recover from a little bit of a tailspin? Can this guy find a way to get the most out of our pieces? And sure, maybe you have more input on the game plan and whatnot. Maybe spend a little more time with him to coach your coaches or what have you. But because there's, you know, maybe a little bit less of a sense of urgency in the immediate term, that's where I'd like to see, Dan Quinn maybe stay hands off when it comes to actually calling the plays in the game, just to see what you got. So you better know if you need to make a move or not in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, they had a really good offseason as far as additions. You got Javon Kinlaw, Will Harris, Deatrick Wise, and Trey Amos, along with Marshawn Lattimore that came over in a trade. All of them are hurt except for Kinlaw.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dan Quinn says, oh, we felt off. Well, those guys that you're depending on, you know, to do well are not, you know, playing. You're of course, you're going to be off. Your defense isn't in the same situation as last year because the quarterback and the offense is out of rhythm too because he's been hurt. So you got to look at, I understand what he's doing. He's going to take ownership of it. I'd rather him do that than not, but you know, it'll be interesting to see as they move forward, because when you go try to get another coordinator, right? If you don't keep Joe Witt, okay. And then you say you're hiring me. All right. Well, how long do I have? When all these guys get injured, you got to think of, they just got a little bit of the injury bug. Because Marcus Mariota has been, you know, starting for some while, and he's primarily supposed to be a backup. So
on that front, Jaden Daniels wasn't put on IR.
Yeah,
I was a little surprised by that. I would have thought that, hey, this is your crown jewel, your asset, the guy that was incredible as a rookie. That's a guy you don't want to rush back and put too much on, right? Take your time. But here's the thing: he is still a young quarterback. Now, pieces around him, not exactly the same. And maybe this is a time where, okay, it is a lost season. Is this guy a gamer? Is he going to shut it down? Can he elevate the pieces around him? And he still has, you know, less than 30 games as an NFL starter under his belt. You know, as good as he was, let's still see what you got. You know, so maybe they kept him off to see that, hey, if he makes a normal, you know, on-time recovery and he has a couple games to play, it won't hurt us to just get him a couple more game reps. But as good as he was, I kind of thought that was a season-ending IR, better safe than sorry move.
Yeah, I don't think, because the season is gone. So there's no reason to do it. And you brought in Marcus Mariota for a reason. I don't know if he has something in his contract to where he needs to be on the active roster. He has a active roster bonus. Maybe that's it. I don't know all the dynamics behind that, but it's definitely interesting because you speak about IR. You know, Joe Burrow is slated to come back. This is on the flip side where they put him on injury reserve early, obviously for obvious reasons, Thanksgiving. And he's only played a couple games. Jaden Daniels, you know, their offensive line has kind of been even though they got Laramie Tunsil. I think a big thing that they did, they got rid of Robinson. I think he was the guy that kind of kept the locker room together. You doubled down on maybe not putting importance on the offensive side, stability and leadership in there. Scary Terry had to do a stay in or hold in or whatever you want to call it. He finally got paid, but he's been injured essentially by, you know, kind of knick-knack injuries all season. Yeah. Then you brought in Deebo Samuel, who's definitely on the back end of his career.
Yeah.
And he's not the guy that he was a few years ago. So everything that they've been able to do offseason-wise probably looked decent on paper, but it needed to hit, and they've pretty much struck out on every single move. So,
which is where it's not necessarily, you know, damning for the franchise. It happens. You know, you had the run to the playoffs. You made it to the NFC Championship game. You're essentially a half away from
You were tied at halftime with Philly.
Yeah. One of the most surprising, you know, runs from as low as they were in the playoff bracket to being that close to a Super Bowl. There's always going to be the fear of regression the next year, which is what they're hitting. So now for that franchise, it's how do you balance out? How do you steady yourselves to where the year that goes off the rails, you still get to, you know, 8 or 9 wins. You know, maybe 7 in the worst case scenario where you're seeing the bottom really drop out on this Washington team. The next step is, do we have enough talent in the doors to be able to do kind of like the Niners did? Even in their bad years, they're always pesky. They're always fighting, not giving up 44.
Right. You know? So, yeah, it's interesting to see what they do because a little bit older team. You got a little bit different personalities, and the guys that kind of could sway those personalities, especially Robinson. Him and Payne played college together. He is gone. And you saw what he was able to do for a little bit for the 49ers when he comes in and relieves McCaffrey. So they got to look internally before you start looking at, you know, the scheme and all that. But I'm sure Dan Quinn, anytime the head coach would come in there calling defensive plays, you better get it going. You better get it going. If you have an effort problem or execution problem or you looked off, and maybe that's what he talks about where we looked off, because one of the biggest things they do, they run cover 3 and they expect tremendous amount of effort.
Okay. Thank you for bringing that up, because I was just going to throw out the fact that Dan Quinn doesn't have the same type of dudes and athletes as he did in Seattle.
He didn't have Hall of Famer.
Believe it or not, not even really one of them.
Yeah, they're not a Cam Chancellor.
And that was Gus Bradley's downfall, right from that same tree, right? Yeah. Dan Quinn, wildly successful with the Legion of Boom. Gus Bradley comes and takes over or learns under Dan Quinn, gets the job. Yeah. He's an indie. You just don't have the same dudes.
Those guys are not – you can't replicate that.
No.
You just can't.
No.
I mean, Richard Sherman, 6'4 corner. Browner was like a 6'3 linebacker playing corner. And Earl Thomas and his
– Cam Chancellor.
Cam Chancellor.
Bobby Wagner, top 5 linebacker.
And all those defense alignment.
Yes.
It's not happening.
It's
the closest
not.
To it is Philly.
Which is not to say that cover 3 can't work. But – when that much film is out on your revolutionary scheme that really changed the NFL for a handful of years there, you can't just run it with Joe Schmo off the street.
And they got a little bit of talent, but they're all doing what we're doing. Sitting around, playing the game, and talking about football. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, put a bow on this bad boy, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We'll be right back.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman. 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Last segment, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. About to send you off into Monday night football, Austin.
Indeed.
Green Bay Packers against the Eagles. Who you got? A lot more pressure on the Packers, though. This is two quarterbacks that are under a lot of scrutiny for different reasons. Jalen Hurts, probably they say he's too mature. And then where they Jordan Love,
just like Jonathan Smith, loves football too much.
Yeah, right. Just likes winning. And then you got Jordan Love, who kind of went on that heater, got the new contract, started the season really well, kind of regressed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Green Bay with that defense, when they were really humming after the Michael Parsons trade, they were like, oh, you know, how could you not pencil them in for the Super Bowl? A few weeks ago, this was a preview to the NFC Championship. Who do you got tonight?
I think I lean toward the Eagles, although I did see a really interesting stat from ESPN. The Packers really open things up against the good teams and really play things close to the vest against the bad teams. Got them beat against Carolina. Got them beat against Cleveland. Yeah. The Packers haven't shown that next gear, kind of like we were talking about with Ohio State,
right,
where it's great that you can show up in the big games against good teams, but if you're not doing that consistently against the bad teams, it makes me wonder. I still like Green Bay. I like LaFleur. I think they get things figured out. But right now, even with Philly's issues, I think I got to roll with them.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Philly. A little bit tightened up more. They also got, I think they got more talent, especially at the wide receiver position than Green Bay has at their own wide receiver position. And I think the quarterbacks are a wash. Both the offensive lines are excellent. Both defenses are excellent. But I just think that this is an A.J. Brown game.
For the first time in 2 months.
Yeah, this is an A.J. Brown game. Mm-hmm. And Devontae Smith. I think they try to take the top off. I don't think they're going to be able to survive by running it. And I think they have two of the best offensive tackles in the league, so they feel like they can hold up outside. So, battle of wills. We both go with the Eagles. We'll see tomorrow. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, we'll holler at you.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.